Thank you. I am going to talk about a more exotic subject. It is not, maybe it is not about standard integrability, but I think it's try to get some exact results for a subject on which there are not so many analytic tools to approach the subject. So it's a joint work with Grégoire Misguich and Vincent Pasquier and Lisa Clay. So I should explain first what are dimer models. So dimers are objects which lie on links of a lattice. Here I represented dimers on the Kagome lattice. So this is an example of dimer covering. The subject of dimers has already a long history in theoretical physics. It was an active subject in the 60s when Kastelein solved the problem of enumerating the dimer coverings on a planar lattice. And he showed that the problem can be reduced to computing the Pfaffian of the adjacency matrix of the graph. And since it is a Pfaffian, you can imagine that it can be translated to a fermion partition function where you have Majorana fermions, since Pfaffian is a partition function of Majorana fermions. Also, Michael Fischer derived the solution of the two-dimensional Ising model using the dimer representation. More recently, people started to study quantum dimer model. What is a quantum dimer model? You have a Hilbert space which is indexed by the dimer coverings of the lattice. And then you have to specify some dynamics. So the dynamics will be some moves which makes you switch from some dimer covering, for example, the one in red, to another one, the one in blue. The moves you can make with the dimers is to make resonances along closed loops on the lattice. So the subject started with the proposal of Anderson to use a resonating valence bond to try to describe this high TCD superconductivity. Rockstar and Kivelson worked on this subject, and more recently it was it came that the dimers can be used to as approximation to study frustrated quantum Heisenberg antiferromagnets, where the dimer will represent some spin singlets on bonds. And there are some motivation also coming from quantum computation, because one expects to have topological excitations which are stable against local perturbations. So they may be useful to implement quantum bits for quantum computers. So the kind of physics one expects from to get from this systems is to get, for example, a dimer liquid which will translate in the language of spins, corresponding spin models in spin liquids. one is expects to have topological excitations, as I said previously. The quantum numbers get fractionalized, and one can have systems where the spinons, free spinons, are the elementary excitations in spin systems, like somehow like in the case of Heisenberg's antiferromagnetic Heisenberg spin chain. But this will be typically these will be two-dimensional spin systems, or even in higher dimension. So now I will try to justify why we use Kagome lattice. This is because in some sense the Kagome lattice is the simplest one of the simplest lattice on which you can study dimers. The reason is that it is a lattice made by Korning sharing triangles, and you can get a lattice of corner sharing the triangles as the medial lattice of a trivalent lattice. For example, in the case of Kagome, the trivalent lattice is the hexagonal lattice shown here. There are other examples constructed in the literature, for example, so-called squagome lattice, where the trivalent lattice is shown here. It's an octagon and a square or rhombus lattice. And there are even examples of higher three-dimensional lattice which occur in nature. And this is some complicated 3D structure where the skeleton, the trivalent lattice, is called geroid. In fact, there are two. It's a double geroid because you have two interpenetrating lattices. And the corner sharing triangles are. The lattices made by corner sharing triangles are special in the sense that you can map the dimer degrees of freedom either on Ising like gauge degrees of freedom or in the language of Ising spins for the 2D lattices, where the Ising spins live on the center of the plaquettes, here in the center of the hexagons. Here the Ising spin live in the center of the these plaquettes, octagonal and square plaquettes. So let me explain how to get, in the case of Kagome lattice, how to map the dimers into the two gauge degree of freedom. So you take a triangle, and you put arrows on the links of the lattice of the hexagonal lattice in this case, with the rule that the number of incoming arrows is always even. So if there is no dimer on the triangle, all the arrows go outside. And if there is a dimer, the arrows go inside on the two ends of the link. So here you have arrow configuration corresponding to dimer configuration. To get the Ising spin representation, you can do the following things. You take a reference configuration, some arbitrary configuration of arrows, and then you assign for any center of the plaquette, you assign a Ising spin equal to one for all the plaquettes. And then for another configuration, any other configuration is different from the reference configuration. Just by reversing the arrows on some closed contour. And this is so because you have all the nodes of the hexagonal lattice, you have the gauge constraint. So these loops can be considered as domain walls for the Ising spin variables. So if you take some reference spin which is assigned to one, then you cross such a domain wall, you change the value of the spin. So this gives you a map, a way to assign Ising spins for any configuration. You have to be careful because first you have to you need the reference spin, so the definition of sigma z is non-local. You have to care about non-trivial topologies because if you have some topologically non-trivial loop, then you cannot consider it as a domain well. So two configurations which differ by a topologically non-trivial loop have to be considered differently, separately. They belong to different topological sectors. And if you have a closed surface and you want to reverse all the spins everywhere, you see that you get the same dimer configuration, and so you have this constraint that reversing all the spins everywhere is amounts to do nothing on the dimer representation.
Can you show an example?
Sorry.
I haven't quite understood the loop business. Can you show an example of reversing a spin?
So you have to reverse all the loops here, all the arrows here. So then these will go inside. These will go inside. You will have a dimer here, then a dimer here, then a dimer here, and a dimer here. You will make circulate the dimer along this loop. So then you reverse the.
So why is the product always equal to 1?
Because if you reverse all the spins, you have to shift the dimers on a closed loop. But if you take the whole system, there is no loop because you have closed. The loop is. Shrinks to zero. So it's in fact it is some ambiguity. It's the ambiguity in saying what is spin up or spin down. Saying that everything is spin up or everything is spin down is the same thing. So this mapping suggests the simplest dynamics you can give to a dimer model. It is to take the operators which reverse the arrows on elementary plaquettes. And to take these operators, they are translated in dimer moves around the hexagon, and to give them weight 1, and to take the sum of all these dimer moves, take the sum over all the hexagons, and take this as a Hamiltonian. So. Let's you you can write then the Hamiltonian as a sum of operator sigma x, where sigma x are the Pauli matrices. This is a very simple Hamiltonian to solve because the sigma x commute from hexagon to hexagon. So you can immediately write the ground state. This will be sigma x equal 1 for all the plaquettes H. And in terms of dimer coverings, this amounts to have a ground state which is the sum over all the dimer coverings with equal amplitudes. In this Roxarkival, so-called the Roxarkivalson state, you can compute all the correlations of dimer of diagonal quantities using the results from the classical dimer computation, the results of Kastelein, and in particular you can see that the correlation of the dimers of the monomers are strictly zero for the Kagome lattice. They are strictly zero beyond few lattice spacing. So you can call this state dimer liquid because the dimers are not correlated. And moreover, you have topological degeneracy for the reason I explained later earlier, because you cannot connect two states which are in which differ by a loop non-trivial topological loop by these local dynamics. It's very simple to have the excitation of this system, and because of the constraint I explained earlier, you have to reverse two spins, two rising spins at one time. This translates in a pair of rising vortices. And you have some topological defect between the two. The two visons. In fact, you can make this Hamiltonian to resemble more to a Ising model, so you can add a potential term. And this is really the Hamiltonian for the two-dimensional Ising model in transverse field, which is also can be seen as a three-dimensional Ising model in Hamiltonian version. So you can identify the phases of the three-dimensional Ising model with the phases of the dimer dimer model. So this is a model, a simple model where you can see which are the possible which are the main feature of such a dimer model. We studied a different model, which is somehow more complicated, and which is was motivated by the physics of the spin 1/2 Heisenberg model on the Kagome lattice, and numerical results on the spin 1/2 Heisenberg model show that there is no magnetic order in this system, so no nail order or other magnetic order. There is probably a spin gap, and what is most surprisingly, there is a huge number of states under this spin gap, an extensive number of states of the order of 1/15 to the power n. So one has to explain this huge degeneracy, and one way to proceed may be to try to describe these singlet states by taking the dimer space, where the dimers will represent the singlet space on bonds. So then you can take you can take the projection of the Hamiltonian Heisenberg Hamiltonian on the dimer space, and to see what is the corresponding dimer model you get. So I go back to my table. So you get these dimer moves, which are represented here. Around the hexagon, you get larger and larger loops if you go to higher orders. And you have here the weights of these moves, and you see that there are signs inside. So it is more complicated. It's a Hamiltonian more complicated than the previous, where you have the one everywhere. So one idea is to try to treat analytically the to invent a model which can be treated analytically and which keeps the main features of this Hamiltonian. So one idea is to retain only the sign of this of these numbers and to take an operator which has the loops with the signs given here. So this leads us to propose this Hamiltonian. Now we have the same sigma x operators, which is dressed by this sign, which corresponds to the number of outgoing arrows around the hexagon. So what changes now is that the operators mu do not commute anymore from hexagon to hexagon, but they anti-commute if the two hexagons are neighbors, nearest neighbors, and they commute otherwise. So the system is frustrated. So you have to solve this this model. What is very interesting is that this Hamiltonian has a huge symmetry because there exists another set of operator mu tilde, which are also defined on hexagons, and which commute with all the operators mu I wrote earlier. So mu tilde, the signs of mu tilde are given here. They are non-trivial signs, so the operators are non-trivial. And what you can give from these operators mu tilde is you can construct some combination of mu which commute with which other. The number is roughly the half of the number of the plaquettes, which is the 1/6 of the number of sites on Kagome lattice. So you obtain the degeneracy of the spectrum given by these central elements, which is of the order 1/12 to the power n. So it's more or less the degeneracy you see in the spectrum of the Heisenberg model. Also, with the help of this operator, you can show that there is no correlation between dimers beyond few lattices. So you have also a dimer liquid. Unfortunately, it was not possible to get explicitly all the spectrum. But this operator mu tilde, the existence of them allow to reduce the dimension of the representation of mu, and then to diagonalize numerically systems which are relatively large. So, maybe I will skip. I will just say that the operators mu and mu tilde can be represented with some Majorana fermions, which are defined on the sides of Kagome lattice. So mu is a product of Majorana fermions, and the mu tilde is also a product of other pair of Majorana fermions. And these two obey some constraint, which is roughly that the number of fermions on triangles is even or odd, depending on the type of the triangle we consider. So this is an interesting feature. These degrees of freedom are more or less similar to the gauge degrees of freedom I showed you earlier. Maybe they can help to obtain some results. Anyway, I will now say two words about the numerical results we obtained for the system. So most probably the system is in a critical phase. We show the gap as a function of 1/1 number of plaquettes. So probably the gap goes to zero in the limit of n large. And there is no order which seems to survive in the limit of large n. Here we represented the susceptibility for two wave vectors where it seems to be some order developing, but if there was some order, long range order, the chi should go as n square. So here you should have a straight line. It seems that chi goes rather like n. So most probably there is some algebraic correlation between operators mu, but no true solid on mu. So it seems to be a new kind of phase. It would be interesting to have a more analytical results on this system. So, another thing we can do numerically is to look at the correlation of the holes inserted in the system, and our result seems to say that the holes do not interact if they are far apart, so the holes are so to say deconfined. They are not attracted. They don't tend to form a bound state. Okay, maybe I will conclude now by saying that at least for Heisenberg anti-ferromagnet. The same feature seems numerical result on Heisenberg antiferromagnet say that the same feature are shared by all the systems on corner sharing lattices, in the sense that you have entropy, low energy entropy, and no magnetic order on all these lattices. That so there seem to be a pattern, maybe the approximation we made to go to these dimer models is able to capture the essential physics of the model. But there are one important point is to understand what is the origin of the degeneracy in the case of spin model. So what is the really the means of what the existence of operator mu tilde mean in the case of spin model. Okay.
So you have shown some numerical results,
yes,
indicating a vanishing gap. Is this this gap related to the spin gap in the government?
No. This is the this is the gap for the singlet state. So the, in the Heisenberg model, there is a spin gap. When you project into the dimer space, you throw away all the states which are not singlets. So you retain only the singlets, the space of nearest neighbor singlets.
So you're claiming that there are spinless excitations which are gapless.
Yes. So this is the spin, the gap. Anyway, you have all the spectrum is degenerate many times. So if you throw away this degeneracy, then you can ask if there is a gap or not. So the statement is that this gap seems to close also. So you may have some excitation with linear spectrum, like I don't know, fermions in 1+1 dimension, massless fermions. Maybe the excitations are just free fermions, but we are not able to prove this.